Mike, the defense corps is just taking a beating. Who's the closest to coming back?
Well, it looks like Dmitry Kulikov is going to be back here maybe even Friday night when the Capitals are here. That's a veteran guy. They traded Mark Pesek, the other Sherwood Park kid, to get him, and he hasn't been able to do very much this year after he got here from the World Cup. And, you know, you're right, Jason. I mean, it reminds us of 2006 when the Sabres lost Game 7 to Carolina for the right to face the Oilers in the Stanley Cup Final, and they were down three defensemen and just completely decimated, and that's what's gone on here. They used one recall on defense last year, the entire season, for one game. They've already suited up 11 defensemen this year.
Now, Gouley was on emergency recall from junior. Are they that decimated with injuries in the American League as well that they had nobody else?
Well, yeah, that was one of the issues. Casey Nelson, who started the year here as the seventh defenseman, was sent down to the American League. He got hurt in Rochester. So they were down to limited guys who were even on NHL contracts in the minor leagues.
Okay.
Because they had already called up Justin Falk and Taylor Fadun to Buffalo. So that's how it ended up going to Brendan Gouley. And let's be honest here, we've seen it in the first two games. We saw it in training camp. To me, Brendan Gouley probably should have made this club. He has been as good or equally as good as probably Cody Franson or Josh Georges would be, but those guys are veterans with contracts, with money, so that's really what made that decision. But, you know, they're going to have an interesting decision here to make. I mean, Gouley's probably going to have to go back. He's on emergency recall. Guys will get healthy. But it's kind of unfortunate because the first two games he has looked like every bit an NHL defenseman.
Yeah, well, and I'm stunned he didn't get invited to Canada's World Junior Camp. It makes no sense to
me. It's just baffling.
Yeah.
It makes no sense whatsoever. But you know what he even said? When you don't get invited to the summer camp, you tend to get overlooked, and that seems to be what happened.
Yeah, you know, they get kind of tunnel vision, I find, at Hockey Canada at times with certain players. And if certain players have played in, you know, at the U-17s and the U-18s, then, you know, automatically they're deemed better for the program. That definitely is part of it, for sure. Now, the Sabres, Jack Eichel, I watched part of that game last night, Mike, and I don't know if he re-aggravated his ankle or his hip, but, man, he was definitely laboring. But today he said he's fine. What do you think was the fact? Did he just maybe aggravate some scar tissue? What happened last night?
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's got the high ankle sprain, and that's an injury that lingers, and it doesn't go away, and you can take off 6 weeks or 8 weeks or whatever, but you're going to tweak it from time to time. And I think that's what happened last night. He got pinned up against the boards by Dmitry Orlov in Washington. And there was clear pain on his face on the bench, and I thought he labored after that point in the second period. He didn't have his normal speed and stride and explosiveness and was clearly hobbling around a little. He looked a little better in the third period, and, you know, he told me after the game he was fine, but, of course, what else is he going to say? But he said again today he was all right and he should play. But, you know, there's talk now about a hip problem, and I don't know if that's true or not. The Sabres have been very transparent in injuries this year. They said he tweaked his high ankle sprain again, so I'm not aware of any real hip situation going on here.
Okay. Mike, Evander Kane, a lot of red flags off of the ice for him the last few seasons in Buffalo. How has he played on the ice?
Well, that's a big issue. I mean, he's got one goal. I mean, he's got one goal at his salary and for his issues off the ice. I mean, maybe you can tolerate him a little more if he's got a 20 or 30 goal season going here. He's got one goal. You know, he suffered four cracked ribs in the season opener. He missed 11 games. He has struggled to get back to where he needs to be. He's been much better at times in the last three or four games. He plays a hard, heavy style, and four cracked ribs isn't going to be real conducive to that. But he's like the whole team, though. It's really hard to pin everything going on here on Evander Kane. They just do not score enough goals. They've been last in the league most of the year. Here's the great stat for you, Jason. When Eichel came back, the Sabres had played 10 games at home. They had scored 6 even-strength goals in those 10 games at home. They just don't score at all.
Oh. So, on paper, they seemingly have some skill. Why can't they score 5? Like, could they not get the puck up to their forwards because their defense are so banged up? What's the issue?
Yeah, some of that is the defense is banged up. But even before the defense got banged up, here's the other great stat. Their defensemen have one goal, one, for the whole season. You know, they don't make a lot of great passes from the back end. They don't create a lot of plays. I mean, Ristolainen has 13 assists, and that's all fine and well. At his money, he needs to score a goal once in a while. He has no goals, you know. So they don't create a lot from the back end, and that's really hurting. Now, Eichel helps. The return of Eichel, you start getting more going on the rush, but that's going from one of your centers, not from your back end. So they have a lot of issues there. They have guys up front who just don't put the puck in. Evander Kane has struggled. Matt Molson has, I think, 7 or 8 goals, but almost all of them are on the power play. Ryan O'Reilly's been in a terrible slump scoring for a while. You know, Eichel came back, scored 3 goals in his first 2 games, and immediately became number 5 on the team in goals, having only played 2 games.
It's good for him, but it's bad for the rest of their team.
And, exactly.
You know, it's kind of similar. The Oilers' defense hasn't been able to produce many points in previous years, but this season, you know, Klefbom and Nurse, and they were getting the Sekera, so they're getting some offense from the back end, has them top 7 in goal scoring. So they faced Connor McDavid tonight, who has never in his career gone 3 games without a point. He's pointless in the last 2, so odds are he'll get a point tonight. I'm assuming O'Reilly will get that matchup. But is it going to be Ristolainen and McCabe, who I think played almost 30 and 29 minutes respectively? Those guys are going to – that's going to be the matchup they want as far as defense pairing tonight?
That's going to have to be the matchup, and I know Dan Bylsma was very concerned last night. He admitted the thing he didn't want was an overtime game, and that's what he got. But he said, you know, I was worried about their minutes for tomorrow, but I'm in the middle of this game, and you've got to let it rip and try to win this game and then worry about tomorrow. But they didn't get that game. They blew the lead. They lose in overtime, and now here we are tomorrow with the Sabres trying to deal with Connor McDavid. Well, the Edmonton Oilers have been here nice and comfy and preparing in Buffalo ready to go. The Sabres had to travel, so it's really set up badly, and the Oilers all today talked all about the revenge they want from the game in October at Rogers Place. So it's really set up badly on paper, at least for the Sabres tonight.
Although we've seen the Oilers, everybody thought they'd beat Arizona, but can't beat them to save their life, or Toronto, so they definitely can't overlook them. Does the Eichel-McDavid matchup get any hype in Buffalo?
Yeah, it does, but, you know, it's a Canadian media thing. You know, a lot of Toronto reporters show up today, television people. It's not a big deal here. Eichel doesn't really care much for it. You know, it's never going to be, despite the draft connection, it's never going to be Crosby and Ovechkin, because they're only going to play twice a year. They're never going to play in the playoffs unless someday it would be in the Stanley Cup final. I mean, we look at it, the big rivalry someday for Eichel is going to be Eichel and Austin Matthews. They're in the same division. They're likely to play in the playoffs at some point. They'll play together for Team USA at some point. You know, Eichel McDavid was so hyped for that whole season, but, you know, the way it ended up with one guy in Buffalo, one guy at Edmonton, I really think it's a media creation more than anything else now.
Yeah, well, it is tough to have. I guess, you know, for fans, though, you look at certain players, like McDavid himself, though, right now, when you see him leading the league by the amount that he is in only his second season, and considering he only played half last year, kind of really nearing the first part of the end of his first overall season, is he a draw himself because Buffalo was so close to, you know, seeing him grow up in Erie?
Yeah, I mean, he's a draw just for a game here, just like Crosby would be a draw, just like Patrick Kane is from Buffalo. But Patrick Kane would be a draw in a lot of cities for the way he plays. I mean, people here like seeing great players. The McDavid thing's kind of interesting. But even Todd McClellan said today, the Oilers go through this every day. It's McDavid versus who? Whether it's Crosby when they're Line A in Winnipeg, McDavid versus Matthews. So McDavid Eichel is just another versus who with a little more juice in it because they were drafted together, but that's really about all.
One last one, Mike. So Buffalo, they can't score right now. Their defense isn't healthy. Anders Nilsson's played pretty well for them. We saw that in Edmonton for short spurts. Do you think this is something that he can maintain where he hasn't been able to maintain it prior to this?
Well, we're going to watch for that because, you know, we're aware that he does have a drop-off in his past, but, you know, he really felt he did a lot of work this summer in Sweden. He's done a lot of work here with Andrew Allen, the goaltending coach. You could make the argument Anders Nilsson might be the MVP of this club to date right now. I mean, they would be completely sunk and way out of the playoff race if their goaltending was just average, and their goaltending for the most part has been way above average most of the season, which it had to be the way this offense has been. And Nilsson's been better than Robin Lehner. Robin Lehner has 1 win in his last 9 outings, even though he's played pretty well, and even again last night, loses in overtime. So, it'll be interesting to see how Nilsson does against the Oilers. And he's been a real find, because I did not want to see them lose Chad Johnson, and he's proving in Calgary what he can do. But Nilsson, they've been very fortunate to get him and get him playing as well as he's been.
Mike, always good to catch up with you, man. No, we'll talk to you again soon. Appreciate your time.
All right, Jace. Take care.